It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
Reach it down. He knocked it away. Ball loose on the deck. Throws it back out. Harper gets it. Harper down the floor. Harper shovels it to Brown for three. Yeah! Bryce eyes the bucket. Spins it up. In and out, though. Rebound. Washington saved it. But Brown is there for three and a quarter. Yeah, baby!
Every single guy that I've met with says, I love Auburn. Not it's cool, but I love Auburn. I've never been at a place where 100% of the guys say that. Like, I get to do that, but when we get to that point, I think it'll set in that why this place really is different.
Out of shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page at TV_WarEagle. Now, the host of Tiger Talk Overtime, Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome into the show, everyone. We are back from Christmas break and talking some Auburn athletics, continuing the conversation from last hour. We've got a lot to talk about. College football in the news with the playoffs going on tonight. We'll update you on that score as we go here on our X page. If you can click on WarEagleTV.com and click on TuneIn, go to our X page and we'll update you on the college football scores there. We may talk about it a little bit tonight as well, but we're going to talk a lot about the portal. We're going to talk a lot about Byron Brown. We're going to talk a lot about college basketball and the bizarre happenings that went on at Neville Arena on Tuesday night against Texas A&M. Kevin Fichtner is on the line with us. Kevin, good to see you again. Hope you had a great holiday, and it's good to get back with it here in college basketball.
Yeah, it's been a minute, Doug. It's great to be back. And unfortunately, it wasn't great to be in Neville Arena on Tuesday night there towards the end when the referees made that final call to reverse the shot that Keyshawn Murphy, we all thought that he made. And it apparently his fingertips were still on the ball when time expired. That was a heartbreaking loss. I mean, the game itself, we were up by 15, 16 early second half, and then we blew that lead. And then we had to fight our tails off to get back into it. And then A&M kind of got tight, but this team is we're struggling right now. You know, we have to win some home games if we want to have a chance to go in the big tournament later this year in March. And now we're 0-2. We're bottom feeders right now in the SEC, and we got Arkansas coming in Saturday about 5 o'clock. So, and they're ranked, and they're pretty good. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But it was tough Tuesday night to have that L come our way.
Yeah. Was it on the fingertips or not? That's the question.
You know, day and age with technology, you would think there would be a frame by frame, you know, shot of his fingertips where you could see if he has colored nails or not. But here we are. No, there is not a distinctive, you know, shot or picture or frame by frame look at his fingertips in the ball.
Kept waiting for it on TV. But anyway, I think it's a big bunch in the SEC. Nobody's really a clear-cut favorite this year in basketball. We're going to talk to former Auburn assistant Chad Pruitt in just a second. It'll be interesting to get his comments on what has gone on so far and what he thinks will happen the rest of the way. College football too, Kevin. The big news this week is Byron Brown. We finally got a quarterback. Everybody else left. And we got the quarterback from South Florida who has very impressive stats. So everybody's pumped about that.
Yeah, earlier in the week, we had gotten the backup to USF, and that was the quarterback we had. But thankfully, we got Byron, and he's on board, and he had his video all over X, and he's in,
everywhere.
He's on all feet on the ground here. And, you know, apparently what we've been joking about, we are now USF East, I guess. We're taking everybody from USF, and hey, I don't blame them. With the guys that left, we weren't winning with those guys. We were paying them a lot of money. Let's see what we can do with these guys that are coming from USF and other places. You know, maybe we have more money to put into the trenches. We keep talking about this. Put that money into the trenches where we can play O-line and D-line, and the rest will happen from there. But, man, I'm excited about Byron Brown for sure. That guy, you know, I'm sure he has – you know, Cam Point 2.0 references and similar, you know, build and height. Yep. But I'm excited to see what he can do at Auburn. And obviously he's familiar with the system, and the guys that are coming here are familiar with the system. So it should be a quick transition to get up to speed to where we want to be in this new offense and this new team.
A bunch of guys from South Florida, as you mentioned, and I guess they set the culture. And speaking of money, it seems like from what we're hearing that Byron Brown is in the 3.5 category and has some incentives in his contract where he could get over $4 million a year in his final season in college football at Auburn.
Okay. Well, I wonder if he's, you know, sponsored by Dude Wipes like Jackson Arnold was, but maybe
he had that picture at Bucky's the other day, or maybe somebody made that up, but
yeah. Well, Cam Coleman left and other, our whole receiving room left. So we have money to give to him. And, I think coach thinks it was worth it, and we're going to find out if it was worth it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody kept saying Deuce is loyal to Auburn and Deuce deserves the first shot. And I kept thinking, Byron Brown has got great stats. He played for Golish. He's not going to come to Auburn and sit on the bench his final year. So that part didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I expected that Byron would be the guy all along. Quickly, we talked about gymnastics a second ago. They've got a big meet at the end of this week, and we'll get to Chad Pruitt coming up.
Yeah, Friday night, first home meet of the season against North Carolina State. We already beat them in basketball a few weeks ago, and hopefully we can beat them in Neville Arena in gymnastics. And so me and my kids will be there. We always love it. We have a good time there, so we will support gymnastics this Friday night.
I'm sure we have some fresh names coming up in 2026, and hopefully Auburn can get back toward the top as they were when SUNY Lee was in town.
That would be great. That's what we're all hoping for. You know, we want to be competitive. We want to win some meets and get back to hopefully some, Final Four or Elite Eight in gymnastics.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, hang with us. Great to have you with us tonight. Brian Brensfield later to talk some college football. Also, Scott Griffin will join us in a little bit to talk about football and basketball, what's going on. And when we come back, we'll visit with former assistant Auburn assistant basketball coach Chad Pruitt. We'll stay right here, back in just a moment.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Wiltu, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Time to continue our conversation about college basketball and the happenings Tuesday night in Auburn at Neville Arena and what lies ahead for the Auburn Tigers. Joining us on the line, former Auburn assistant Chad Pruitt. Kevin Fichtner is still with us as well. Chad, it's great to see you and great to have you on with us.
What's up, guys? Hope you guys are doing well. Appreciate you having me.
Doing well. Tell me a little bit about what you saw Tuesday night, the end of the Texas A&M game at Neville Arena. That was a bizarre scene. I'm not sure I've ever seen anything like that in college basketball.
You know, it's crazy. I don't know Obviously, a lot happened in the last, what, 3 or 4 or 5 seconds, whatever it was. But I think if you go back to the very end, I don't know how they were able to overturn that. There was not enough indisputable evidence to overturn that call. Whether it was out of his hand or in his hand, I don't know. But I mean, it was so close, nobody can tell. So therefore, you should stay with the ruling on the court, which with the basket was good. So, I hate it for Auburn and my guys. I hate it for Keyshawn Murphy, who I'm super close to and made, the shot of his life, of his career, and to see it taken away really hurt. Now, I'm sure if you ask Coach Pearl, Steven would say, hey, we should have not been in that position as we had a complete control of that game at one point and kind of let it slip away. And, you also got to give credit to Bucky and the Texas A&M Aggies to come in there and play that well on the road. Neville Arena's impossible to win at. I mean, you go back and look at the last several years, you don't win at Neville. And so you got to give them credit, but man, I hate to see you take it away from Keyshawn Murphy and the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, and Keyshawn, probably the last guy they had drawn up on the play chart over there, right? Going out of the huddle, he had to be the most surprised guy in the world to get the basketball.
Yeah, I was surprised looking at it. As a coach, you're always, I can't just watch it as a fan. I'm sitting there analyzing the whole thing. And, I saw that they were way off Keyshawn and probably protecting the rim and being a little closer to shooters. And so, yeah, he caught it, turned around and shot it with nobody even close. And I bet you Bucky, and I didn't really listen to any of the press conference, I bet Bucky would want to have somebody a little closer to him if he had to redo that as well.
He would now, I'm sure,
Yeah, for
after
sure.
what happened. But
Hindsight's always 20/20. We talk about those guys who sit up in the stands, spectators, and have great ideas after the fact. But man, coaching's tough, man. It happens really fast. I got a bunch of buddies who are head coaches in college football and other stages of football. And I say, man, you guys get a chance for 30 seconds to figure out what you're going to do next. Basketball is up and down and we're making split second decisions and it happens so fast. And those were another great game at Neville. Wish we could have pulled it out.
Chad, we were talking a little bit earlier about you staying in touch with the team, and you said you visit with Coach Pearl a little bit every week, but you don't watch every single minute of every game. You resigned or retired last spring after the Final Four season. How much do you miss coaching? You've coached for a long time. You had a bunch of high school rings as well. How much do you miss it? Do you miss the day-to-day operation?
I get asked that question a lot. I miss the 40 minutes when we're playing. That's when I really miss it. And then more than anything else, I miss the relationships. When you spend 10, 12, 15 hours a day with your coach and staff, you become like brothers. And so those guys are like, family to me. And I stay in touch with all of them. And just trying to be an encouragement and any help I might can give and any day-to-day operations decisions, I'm always here. And Coach Pearl took a chance on a high school coach that, I'd been in high school for 19 years and BP took a chance on me. And Auburn's always been home for me. I love it. I love the orange and blue. And man, I hurt with those guys last night when that shot was taken off. I felt the pain. I know how hard they work. Okay. And I know how good a coaching staff that is. That is a great coaching staff. A lot of experience, a lot of guys who've been with us through all the ups and downs of the last several years. They know how to win. That will sting. The loss at Georgia will sting, but I know this coaching staff well. They'll rebound really well and have these guys ready to go the rest of the year.
Yeah. What I see, Chad, when I watch this team play the last couple of games or three games, you mentioned your relationship with Murph, but it seems to me like they're searching a little bit for leadership. College basketball is in such a weird place where most teams don't have a lot of players returning every year, so it's kind of hard to get that chemistry. But it seems to me like they're searching a little bit for somebody to take the lead and take this team to where they need to be. What do you think?
Well, think about, in 2019, we go to the Final Four with a senior league laden team, a team with a ton of experience, a ton of guys we developed. We had had for several years with, Jared Harper and Bryce Brown and Anfernee McIlmore, Austin Wiley, all those guys, Horace Spencer. We had those guys and we had them for a while and we were able to develop a lot of chemistry. You look back at last year, What do we have? Older guys that had developed a lot of chemistry. So this year with 10 new guys, we knew would be tough. It didn't matter who was coaching. You're going to have a hard time with 10 new guys. And I think what you'll find out over the course of the season is if, and we don't know this yet, but if our guys will be resilient, determined, and go back to work every single game and learn how to put those things behind them quickly, this is a team who's talented enough to make a run. And you have the coaching staff that's talented enough to help them make a run. And so, you're going to find out a lot about our team, and you're going to find out a lot about our guys here coming up. And, but going back to what you said, the experience is what makes all the difference. So yeah, of course they're searching. You know why they're searching? They haven't been there before. And if you had a bunch of guys who've been there, then they point to the guy who's been there and said, "Okay, let's go." But they haven't yet, and so that will continue to develop. I think anytime you play a schedule like Auburn played early, it can have a couple. It can go into a couple of different ways. It can help you with experience. It also can rob you a little bit of confidence if you're not careful. It's a fine line, and the margin's super thin on that. But I expect this team to rebound. I expect them to be more motivated than ever, Saturday versus the Hogs.
And it looks like nobody really is way out in front in the SEC. It looks like a bunch of teams clogged up in the middle. Visiting with Chad Pruitt, former Auburn basketball assistant. And Kevin, I know you got some questions.
Chad, tell us what you've been doing since you left, since you've resigned, and since you've moved on. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was, man, it was a tough decision. I've been coaching for 30 years. Again, those guys are like brothers to me, the Auburn coaching staff. And so it was a really tough decision for me to step away. But I really felt like, my wife and I have a ministry called Unite Us, and where we take the gospel across the country to different college campuses. And it was really, really exploding. And just felt like I needed to be there a little bit more with Tanya during this time, and then just see what else other opportunities that God has for me at this time. I'm doing a lot of speaking. I'm helping with another ministry called Nations of Coaches that puts chaplains across the country into basketball college campus basketball programs. And Jeremy Napier is one of on our staff. Our chaplain, our character coach, is from Nations of Coaches, and so it's allowed me to stay in the game. I've actually seen probably 10 or 11 games live across the country with buddies of mine that coach in other areas. And so I haven't watched Auburn every second of every game, but I've seen a ton of college basketball. So I've stayed really busy. And man, but as always, it's good to be. I'm actually still in Auburn now. Our family, I got three girls that are all live in the Nashville area. And so probably just a matter of time before we move a little further north.
Do you see yourself getting back into coaching 5, 7 years from now, or do you think you're going to continue this ministry and let it ride?
I hadn't ruled it out, Kevin. Thanks for asking that question because I get it a lot. I haven't ruled it out. I mean, when you're a coach, it's kind of in you. You can't get away from it. I mean, again, as I've mentioned earlier, I can't even watch a game without dissecting, what everybody's doing. And so it's in me. I enjoyed it. I had a very successful career, not only at the high school level, but as you know, we were really successful at Auburn. When you think about this, guys, what this staff accomplished, two Final Fours in the last 6 years, to a program that had never been to the Final Four. In fact, in 2019, nobody from the state of Alabama had ever been to the Final Four. And so to be a part of history, come back, last year and have that incredible year, I got an opportunity to walk out on top. And how many guys do you know have the opportunity to do that? Not very many. Most everybody ends up, honestly, getting fired in this business, unfortunately. So I had a great opportunity to walk away at the top, and we'll see what God has in the future. I'm looking forward to whatever it is.
Was the transfer portal, I know everybody talks about that now, was that a factor in your decision to get out of college basketball?
Well, look, I don't like the transfer portal and NIL the way it is, but no, that wasn't a decision, enough to make me want to step away. Look, it's a mess. Let's be honest. The way it is right now, and honestly, you used to be able to finish the season and get ready for summer camps and do a little recruiting and ease into it. And now, think about this past year. We were in the Final Four or in the Elite Eight, getting ready to go to the Final Four, and we were recruiting at the same time. We're on Zooms at the same time, because the transfer portal was open. They got to fix it. It's broke. And so we got to figure out a way to be able to take care of everybody at every level, regardless of how far they go in the tournament.
What do you think about, we talked a little bit about the SEC, Chad, but what do you see this year? I think it's a lot of teams that are pretty close, and it's going to be a matter of who wins those close games. And Auburn has probably another one coming up this weekend against John Calipari in Arkansas.
Yeah, I think the teams in the SEC are not quite as good as they were last year. The depth is not as good, but it's still really good. I mean, you're going to have 8, 9, 10 teams probably get into the tournament. But I don't see a huge difference between the teams at the top and the teams at the bottom, or will be at the top or the bottom coming up. I think the margin, I say this all the time, the margin is super, super slim between, look at Auburn in the last two games, could be 2-0. They're 0-2, could be 1-1. And so the margin is so slim between victory and defeat. And this team is just going to have to keep, man, you got to keep chopping wood, man. You just got to keep coming back, because you just never know the difference between, let's just say, a fourth place finish or a seventh or eighth or ninth place finish. I mean, because what happens is those teams end up all together at the end of the year, except for one or two teams that'll probably separate themselves from the pack. So, look, you got a tough loss on Tuesday night, but you got to put your hard hat back on and go to work and get ready to try to get one at home against the Hogs on Saturday.
I think Saturday night will be the first real Neville Arena experience for the season, because we had the preseason games where it wasn't sold. It was sold out, but a lot of empty seats. Even last night, there were empty seats. I think Saturday, 5 o'clock, no one has school, no one has work the next day. It's going to give you that first true Neville experience of the season. And for these guys that haven't really witnessed it, the new guys here, and hopefully that can carry us, against Arkansas on Saturday.
There's no doubt. And let me tell you, Neville Arena, when it's hopping, it's best in college basketball. And I've been all over the place. I've seen it all. And so we will meet the test. I'm telling you, our guys will be ready. Neville Arena will be hopping. It'll be a tough environment for Arkansas to come into on Saturday. And so, look, we back to work, back to work.
All right, talking some college basketball on a Thursday night, Tiger Talk Overtime. Glad you're with us. And Kevin Fichtner is here, and former Auburn assistant coach Chad Pruitt will be back and talk some more college basketball. And the Arkansas game coming up this weekend, also the rest of the SEC season. We'll talk about it all in just a minute as we get into the Horizon Financial Halftime Report right after this short timeout.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
It's time now for the Horizon Financial Halftime Report, brought to you by Horizon Financial. Come with us and experience the Horizon difference in your financial future. Visiting with Chad Pruitt, former Auburn basketball assistant. And Chad, a couple more minutes we've got you here for. I know Steven mentioned after the Georgia game, Filip Jovic, as a guy who he thought had a really good game and maybe had some upside that could help this team, maybe some leadership. Who do you see that can really step out and has that upside for this SEC basketball season? The guys that can get a lot better this year.
Yeah, I love Elijah Freeman and I love Sebastian. I really do. I think, and when you look at the upside of those two guys, I could see them being future pros. I like what they bring to the table. Again, you're talking about two guys with not a lot of experience, and so they don't even really know how good they are yet, honestly. But I like their bodies. I mean, look, Elijah Freeman's going to end up, carrying another 10 or 15 pounds at some point and just going to be a beast. And man, Sebastian already has an unbelievable body. Both great kids from what I've when I've been around them, I've been able to tell. They're hard workers. And so those two guys, I think, again, they're young. And so what happens with young guys is the confidence seems to kind of, it's like a roller coaster. So it can be up and down, and we need to get those guys kind of locked in, and they need to see a few go through the basket, through the hoop, and continue to play with unbelievable effort and energy. But those are two guys that kind of stick out to me. Obviously, I think Keyshawn Hall is one of the best players in the country. He basically last night brought that team back. if you look at the last couple of minutes, the way he just took over and just wouldn't be denied. So he's a guy, I'm telling you, I've been telling people all along, there's enough talent on this team, especially with Keyshawn and Tahad Pettiford, that could honestly at times probably put the team on their back. And they're going to win some games. I'm telling you, they're going to win some games they probably are not going to be favored in. But I like the talent of this team. Obviously, the thing that we all know is going to be tough for us is the size, the overall size that we're seeing. If you look at some of those teams that beat us early in the year, those teams were bigger, much bigger than we were, and took a toll on us. But I think there's enough talent here to really get going, and I think you're going to see it happen pretty quickly.
What do you think happened when we're up 16 Tuesday night at Neville Arena? Steven mentioned fatigue was a factor maybe in the style that Texas A&M plays and the guys that we have injured. Is that what you saw?
Yeah, you know, I was a coach in high school where I played, you know, it was 84 feet then. You know, I mean, we tried to guard you as we got off the bus. And what you try to do, you play a bunch of bodies. You try to pick you up early, and you're just hoping for – I mean, we used to talk about it all the time. We're 1-10-0 run away from winning the game. That's what I used to always tell my teams in high school. And honestly, that's what you saw last night. You saw – you know, I won't say Auburn dominated. I mean, I think Texas A&M early played well. Auburn came back and started playing really well. But if you take that just a 2-3-4 minute, you know, clip away, you know, Auburn played really well last night. But that's what pressure does, I think. And look, Bruce Pearl, who was as good as anybody in the country over all these years with pressure, that's what we always look for. We look for an opportunity. So, yes, I think fatigue had a big part of it. It's also, you know, you're playing – I don't know how many guys Auburn played. I didn't look at the stats, but I know Texas A&M rotated a bunch of guys in there. And Steven would like to play more. I think, you know, there's been some injuries, some other things that's kept him from doing those things. But that's what pressure teams are looking for. And so, yeah, there was several things that kind of went – and then they made – let's be honest. They made 3 or 4 unbelievable tough threes – as well. Yeah. In fact, the one in the last minute that kid made, man, what a shot.
About, you know, 40 feet or something.
Yeah. But when the shots start going in, the hoop looks massive. And that's what happened. If you look in that run, shots they didn't make all game, they went on a run. Again, you got to give those guys credit. You know, we can't sit here a day or two after and talk about just the officiating. We got to give, you know, Bucky and those guys credit for coming into a tougher environment at Neville and winning that game. And that game was won in that little 2 or 3 minute stretch.
You mentioned Coach Pearl. I know you talked to him some also. Does he have any nails left after these last two games?
Probably not. Probably not. You know, it's so hard to watch when you're not in it. You know, and people used to always say, man, you know, y'all are killing me up here. I'm sitting in section 102 and just watching y'all for years. They would say that, and I didn't really understand what they were talking about. But when you have no control, you don't have a ton of control when you're as a coach anyways. It still comes down to the players. But when you're sitting up in the stands or you're watching by TV, those are tough. Man, I was nervous as anybody last night in the last 2 minutes, honestly. And so I know BP, I know how he is. He definitely was feeling the same way.
Yeah. Kevin, anything last?
I think Coach nailed it. I mean, Chad, you it's different. I'm a fan perspective. I'm the one in the stands. You've been there. And like you said, you look at other things that our eyes don't see. Yeah, we're all coaches from the stands, but you know what's going on in that huddle when there's 0.6 seconds left and someone's got to draw up a play. I mean, you've really explained it really well and gone into detail and told what it's like to be on that side of the game. The game that we never get to see is, yeah, we can always should have done this, should have done that, wish Auburn could have done that, but you're explaining it. You've witnessed it. You've gone through it.
Well, I always say, you know, nobody wants to win more than those players and the staff. You know, so when I hear people being critical, I'm like, guys, you got no idea. There's nobody works any harder in America than this coaching staff. I can promise you, none of them go to sleep last night or Wednesday night. None of them. You know, those guys are going to make sure that they do everything they possibly can do to be prepared for this next game. And so, somebody asked me just a few days ago, what, you know, how do you feel now that you've been out of it? And what it was like to be a coach? And I said, you know, the highs were really high. I mean, I think about going into Tuscaloosa and beating Alabama. I think about, beating Michigan State and going to the Final Four. But I also remember some of those last second daggers that happened to us over the course of the year. And when you're a coach and you spend, look, I had a game scout. So basically one out of every three games, I was game planning for the team. And so that means 10 or 11 games a year, I was responsible for putting that game plan together. And when that thing didn't, play out the way you wanted to, man, you couldn't sleep. You couldn't eat. It just absolutely just destroyed you. So, for people to be just really critical during those times, you just don't understand that the work that goes into it on those guys. And they're trying as hard as they can, and they're trying to put those guys in the best position possible. And last night we ran into a tough team who came ready to play.
Yeah. Well, hopefully good things on the horizon for Auburn, Arkansas, again, Saturday afternoon. And Coach Pruitt, appreciate you being with us. And tell people, if you want to, how they can get in touch with you or your mission and get involved in that.
Yeah, thank you, Doug, for saying that. Our ministry is called Unite Us, and it is uniteusmovement.com. We have now been on 24 different college campuses in the last 2 years and seen over 25,000 young people come to Christ during that time. And so it's been a really, really cool opportunity for us to be on those college campuses. We'll have a full year this year, seven events, I believe, in the spring, and probably another seven or eight in the fall. So Coach Pruitt will be extremely busy. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate you guys, and War Eagle.
War Eagle, Coach Chad Pruitt, former Auburn basketball assistant. Great to have him with us on the show tonight, and hopefully we'll have him again very soon to talk some college basketball. When we come back, we'll talk to Scott Griffin of CBS 42 in Birmingham, talk some more college basketball and some college football and the transfer portal. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this from Horizon Financial. I want to take a minute to tell you about Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, a company built on knowledge, personal service, and integrity. Henry Hardy has over 32 years in financial services. Henry Hardy is a SmartVestor Pro utilizing Dave Ramsey's investing principles, and that tells me a lot. If you're looking for wealth management, retirement planning, call Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, 251-625-2220, located across from the Eastern Shore Center at 1 Timber Way, Suite 100 in Daphne, Alabama. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, SPF, member FINRA, SIPC. Working with an advisor who subscribes to the SmartVestor Pro Network cannot guarantee investment success or that financial goals will be achieved. Advisors pay a fee to belong to the SmartVestor Pro program. Dave Ramsey and the Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro program are not affiliated with Sage Point Financial Incorporated and are not sponsored or endorsed by Sage Point Financial Incorporated. Welcome back, everyone, and want to continue the conversation now. A little college football and basketball. Joining us on the line, Scott Griffin from CBS 42 in Birmingham. And Scott, great to have you with us.
Douglas, how are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Yeah. How are you? Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome.
It's been an exciting time here since the Christmas break. The portal is open. We've got the semifinals going on as we speak. And again, if people want to keep up with the score there, they can go to our website, WarEagleTV.com, and click the tune in button and join us on X, and we'll have the updated scores for you there. But we'll start with that, I guess, Scott. What Ole Miss in Miami tonight? We've got the Oregon game against Indiana tomorrow night. Any thoughts on the Final Four? Did anything surprise you about the teams that got there?
Not really. I mean, Miami's playing with a vengeance, obviously, right? Because they had been left out pretty much the whole way to the final poll, right? So I think Mario Cristobal is using that as fuel. And look, they're physical. He's obviously an ex-offensive line coach, so they're physical and know how to get things done. It's obviously been bantered about many times. All of them are former Nick Saban assistants. I think there is something to that. I don't think that means they're going to win it every year or anything, but certainly his way has been dominant. Maybe
Cristobal looked so intense last game.
Yeah,
I've never seen him that intense on the sideline.
Yeah, he's that was the game, right? They won the first one, and again, they felt like they were maligned, and a lot of people thought Notre Dame should be in. You know the story. We don't have to go again. And I think he's using that as fuel. So I think they're really good. Some people say they could win it all. I think any of the four really could win it all. I mean, Ole Miss is probably to answer your question, maybe the most surprising a little bit just because of the chaos. But, they did have some continuity keeping Pete Golding there. You still got Trinidad Chambliss, who's just playing lights out, as you saw against Georgia, just unbelievable plays. And they could win it. Who's to say they couldn't win it, So right now, you got four really good teams in there, I
I'm kind of pulling for Ole Miss just because of the
think.
Kiffin
Right.
factor.
It's hard
But
not to. Yeah.
the big question is, if they win tonight against Miami, then what happens to the coaching staff? It's going to be double chaos, I think.
Well, and you've already know that, a lot of the Ole Miss assistants that were helping, I don't think Kiffin thought that they would keep advancing. So a lot of them had to go back to LSU, and Charlie Weiss is basically the only guy still there calling plays. So it does make you kind of cheer for him for sure. But look, Pete Golding's done a nice job. He's acting like the head coach. He was acting like the head coach before, and now he's 2-0 as a head coach in very difficult circumstances that he would not have been judged on anyway, right? So,
Going to be fun to watch the next
yeah.
couple of weeks. The other thing I think about, Scott, with the college football playoff, and I heard Dan Lanning talk about this. The thing is, we don't need any bye weeks. And the thing is too stretched out to January the 19th. Whereas if I'm an Auburn fan or a fan of somebody else, Alabama or whoever was in the playoff, and there's two teams that have 10 days or whatever in between the semifinals and the finals. When they get to the finals on January the 19th, does anybody else really care except the two teams that are in it?
Right. It is stretched out way too much, but they obviously do that for TV money and interest and all those things. And then now what are they talking about? Hey, let's add some more teams. So I don't think it's going to shorten. It'd be nice if it shortened. I don't like, personally, I don't like a system where there's byes. I know it happens in other sports too, but I just don't think it's fair to have byes. You already have an advantage if you have a winning record or have the best record or whatever, that you're going to play the worst of the playoff teams, right? 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, all that stuff. So
And it's almost a
why do you need a bye?
disadvantage, right? It's almost a disadvantage to have a bye.
We saw teams, get upset, a couple of them. So yeah, because you haven't played, you got to keep playing.
You
So
kind of lose that momentum.
yeah, they're not going to shorten the regular season, obviously, now with NIL money and money being at stake and all that stuff. So I don't think we ever go backwards. Do you know of any league that's cut their games yet, professional or college? I don't.
Hasn't worked in college basketball, really.
No, they don't cut the team. They don't cut the games.
All right, so that'll be fun to watch. And again, we'll keep you up to date on the score on our X page tonight and tomorrow night. And the big topic in college football, other than the playoffs, Scott, I guess is that I don't guess it is the portal and Auburn this week. All the fans were waiting on Byron Brown to see if he would come aboard with Coach Golish from South Florida at quarterback. Deuce Knight was gone. Ashton Daniels gone. All the quarterbacks were gone from the Auburn quarterback room. So they had to have somebody. And I thought that Byron Brown was coming, but he made it official this week. And some pretty good stats from his career at South Florida. Do you think that translates into the SEC and all his teammates from South Florida? Will that translate in year one for Golish at Auburn into players that can compete for a championship in the SEC?
Now, a compete for a championship, I don't know. A compete is just the big question to me. Obviously, he's got great talent. He's one of 12 quarterbacks ever to have 3,000 yards passing and 1,000 rushing. Whatever level you do that on, you got to be pretty good, right? I mean, it's doing something. They're in the American Conference, but South Florida's been a pretty good level of football. And again, pointing back to Trinidad Chambliss, he was at Ferris State. Well, he looks pretty good right now. So, I obviously think he's a good, competent quarterback. Will he be better than Deuce Knight would have been? Or I mean, I don't know. He's only got 1 year left, but he does know the system. It's probably a smart move for Gulish to buy himself time as well as implement his system immediately so that they are competitive immediately. And, there should be less ramp-up time, obviously, if he had 12, 15, or however many he ends up with coming over from South Florida. Are they good enough? Maybe. Maybe they are. And again, with Auburn having been a 500 or a little bit under 500 team for the last 5 years, you know, it
might be an improvement.
Why not, right? I mean, he's the coach. He can do what he likes. So yeah. It'll be interesting to see how the – I think Brown's good enough. I wonder about the other guys. I'm interested to see what their skill level is.
Or is he just bringing them in to create the culture at Auburn?
Yeah, and the continuity. I mean, and there's value to that.
Right.
I think.
Back in just a minute, talking some college football and basketball. Auburn college football and basketball with Scott Griffin of CBS 42 in Birmingham. And we'll return after this short timeout.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
Talking with Scott Griffin, CBS 42 in Birmingham. And, Scott, the other interesting thing about the quarterback situation is the pay that these guys are getting. I guess we shouldn't be surprised at this point, but I think Texas Tech is in the neighborhood of $5 million for their quarterback. The rumors are that Auburn is paying 3 point something to Byron Brown with incentives to get him over $4 million a year. So not only do the teams keep adding to the playoff, but the money keeps adding to the purse strings here.
Well, let me give you a comparison for people that may not know. Mac Jones, who was a Pro Bowler his first year, as you know, and a starter for a couple of years in New England, then had the fall from grace, but still obviously a competent quarterback that has started games in the NFL. And you and I know how valuable that is for a backup quarterback.
Right.
So San Francisco goes against him. They were interested in him anyway in the draft. He has a 2-year deal. I think it's $11 million. So Mac Jones, who's been in the Pro Bowl and started several games in the NFL, will make what a Texas Tech quarterback will make.
That's why not? Why not stay at Texas Tech, right?
Yeah. No, that's why you see basketball guys and TJ Finley never graduating. TJ Finley played at least 35. So we've gone a little nuts with the numbers. I guess they're accurate. You know, you see all these numbers, and my first question is, how do they know and how is it accurate? But it's probably close.
Yeah.
You know? And that's just.
And you start to wonder if you have I don't know what Texas Tech's budget is, but if you have a $30 million budget and you pay one guy five.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot out of your $30 million. So.
But they supposedly have a billionaire that's there. And again, with college football being in such flux and chaotic, and then there's no, you know, I guess we're going to have what you're talking about, caps. Like we do in other sports, which is just amazing because how many teams could even afford $30 million? Is there five? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. And they also have that guy that played quarterback for the Chiefs as a alumnus, I think.
Yeah, he probably helps a little bit.
All right. let's talk a little college basketball. Tuesday night, I know you were on the air probably a little bit during the game. Yeah. I don't know if you've had a chance to rerun it or not, but what a finish. In the Texas A&M and Auburn game, Stephen Pearl trying to get a win in the SEC. The Tigers were up big, looked like they were getting some momentum in the first half, up by 16, I think. Then A&M comes rushing back. Auburn makes some mistakes on the inbounds plays. They shoot a couple threes. Texas Tech goes up by 12 points, I think. Auburn comes back at the end of the game. I don't know how, but they did. They were a little gritty there. Got back to within 2 points, and all the controversy at the end of the game, the free throw, and Auburn throws the ball into Murph, their center, I guess he's 6'8 or something, and he bangs down the three-pointer at the buzzer, and then they wave it off. So that was one of the more bizarre college basketball endings I've seen.
Yeah, a flux of emotions, right? Yeah, Auburn, I think they were up by 9 at the half. They went on a 9-0 run with 2:16 left in the first half,
Yeah.
and got a little cushion. And then, to your point, early in the second half, got it to 16 and was playing very well. But that's the whole point. I've been following Bucky, and I'm a friend of his. He's from Birmingham, obviously, Mountain Brook.
Yeah.
So that's what they do. You never kill that snake until the game's over. Because you can look like you're in control, and then 4 minutes later, you're down by two because they just wear you out.
Yeah.
As you saw, they play 10, 11 guys, and they're just going nuts. They don't worry about the scoreboard. They just play frantically.
Yeah. And
And it wears you out.
they don't really have the talent that he needs yet, because he got in
No,
there kind of late
no.
last year.
But when you play like that, you can play to a higher level.
Yeah.
And think about it, Doug. You got no problems on the team. Everybody plays.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You got to get some minutes.
So you know you're going in. But to your point, yes, Auburn lost. They're 0-2. It's very early. This isn't a year Stephen Pearl is going to win the SEC title. He almost gets a year of gratis with the complete changing of his team that he had to do. But
Probably more.
yeah, but to your point, I think that it should be well taken and thought about. They came back from A&M's explosion when
Right.
they were dog tired. That does show grit and some determination, and shows that the coach has some kind of connection to his team to get them to even do that. I was surprised they came back like that.
Yeah.
So that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
So, yes, crazy ending. Don't get tore up about if your team won or lost. It was just a close game, but Auburn has something to work with there, I
Yeah.
think.
They've got Arkansas coming in Saturday, Coach Cal and the gang. And I think from what I see in this conference, Scott, this year, I don't see anybody that's totally dominant. There's
No.
a big bunch in the middle, and whoever wins these close games is going to win the thing.
Yeah, and Florida will be having something to say about it before the
Yeah.
end. We
Yeah.
got a long SEC season. We think we're kind of, you're halfway through the season, but the SEC just started. You can get beat up pretty quick. Vandy's 14-0. Alabama played Vanderbilt, and they were 14-0 when they played them. So, you just don't know. I don't think there's it's kind of like football now, right? And baseball and all the other sports. There's no easy games in this league. To your point, there's no great team, I don't think either. Everybody's got flaws, but there are some really good teams.
Yep. Going to be fun to watch. Scott Griffin, CBS 42. You can catch him on the tube every weeknight. Is it every weeknight, Scott?
Yes, sir.
And weekends? Or just
I,
weeknights
it's pretty much 7 days a week right now.
then? Gotcha.
Whatever.
Well, catch him. CBS 42 if you're in Birmingham. And Scott, always appreciate you being with us. And we'll do it again soon.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Scott Griffin with us tonight. Appreciate his time as always, and catch him again if you're in Birmingham, the best sports cast there. And we want to thank you for joining us tonight on Tiger Talk Overtime. Always a pleasure to have you. Thanks to our great sponsors, Will Too, of course, Morgan Bradley and Alpha Insurance, and also Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, many, many others that keep us on the air here. If you want to follow the Tigers through the week, don't forget to join us on WarEagleTV.com. Go to our front page there, get our X page and our YouTube channel. Click the tune in button. Join us on X for all the latest updates, and join our YouTube channel as well. And we'll see you next week right here on Tiger Talk Overtime. Hopefully a big win over Arkansas this Saturday. Until next week, Doug Holton, War Eagle, everybody.